The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please, come, lay your hands on her that she may get well and live." Jesus went off with him, and a large crowd followed. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all she had. She was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she had been healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith." Jesus did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So Jesus went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. Today we have some extraordinary images about fatherly love. Jairus, the synagogue official, goes up to Jesus in Capernaum, falls down before his feet and pays him homage and begs him to come save his little girl. By this time, Jesus was persona non grata in the synagogue. He had been booted. Some were plotting to kill him because he healed on the Sabbath. For Jairus to have any contact at all with Jesus would be tantamount to a sign of betrayal of the synagogue leaders. And yet he didn't just send a note to Jesus. He didn't come and ask at a distance whether Jesus might deign to do him a favor. He went up and treated him almost as if he was a god, falling down at his feet and begging him to come to save his girl. Such was his fatherly love that losing his job didn't matter to him, that losing the esteem of his fellow Jews didn't matter to him. He was willing to do whatever it took for his daughter. See another example of fatherly love in today's first reading. Absalom is plotting to kill his father, to take his kingdom. David, however, didn't want anything bad to happen to Absalom. So as we see, he left, suffered along the departure, was willing to be humiliated for his son. But David's troops were fighting for the kingdom. David had given clear instructions to spear Absalom. But Absalom, unfortunately, had hair. And he was caught in a tree and killed there by David's right-hand man, who was just incensed that somebody would contemplate parricide, that after David had treated Absalom so well, that Absalom would be such an ingrate. But when word finally came to David, David's question was not fundamentally about did we win or lose. How is Absalom, my son? And when he heard that Absalom was dead, his response was like his entire army had been slaughtered. What should have been a day of victory, a day that he had celebrated hundreds of times over on the battlefield, it became a day of great mourning, and the entire army wept with David. Why did David weep so much? Because it was very likely that what David wanted to do was convert his son through his mercy after Absalom would be captured and brought back, and the father, like in the parable of the prodigal son, would fully restore his son, that he would finally awaken his son to some of the most important lessons of all, especially the lesson of fatherly love against this rebellious tendency in the young. But he didn't have a chance. Absalom was dead. And he died, in a sense, outside of that relationship with his father's redeeming, inexhaustible love. This teaches us a little bit, these two lessons, about the love that God the Father has for us. That even when we have turned against him through some of our choices, he actually makes the parable of the prodigal son come alive. David lamented, "Would that I have died instead of my son." And God actually came to die so that his son, dead, might be raised again. Should see in this scene a preparation for David's 28th generation grandson, who would come to fulfill that paternal love that beat in the heart of the father. But it beat because Jesus' love itself was paternal. A lot of the times we focus so much on the Trinitarian relations that we forget something that the fathers of the early church never did, which was Jesus is the icon of the Father. And so Jesus' love for us is likewise paternal. St. Melito of Sardis, for example, pondered quite a bit how Jesus fathers us in the sacraments. He is the principle of life through whom all things were made. Likely had a chance to ponder this over the weekend as we celebrated the 100th anniversary of Cardinal O'Connor's baptism, and on the presentation remembered our own. Jesus fathers us in the sacraments, and we see in the heart of the gospel today how he exercises that spiritual paternity. When this woman caught with the hemorrhage crawls up from behind Jesus in the midst of a Jewish mob rushing to Jairus' house with no sense of personal space, and so everybody would have been bumping up against Jesus at almost every step. But this woman, in a sense, risking her life in the midst of that stampede with faith that all she had to do was touch Jesus' garment to be cured of something that doctors over 12 years hadn't been able to do. She touched his hem, and Jesus immediately knew that somebody had touched him differently than all those who had been colliding into him. And so he slammed on the brakes of the ambulance on the way to a house call. And he said, "Who touched my clothing?" For him, as we know, it was never about healing just bodily ailments. That was always a prelude to something far more important, what he'd come into the world to do, salvation by faith. And when finally this woman, terrified because of her blood, if she touched somebody, if she made somebody ritually impure, terrified, knowing that she was busted, came forward. And how did Jesus respond? He responded as a loving dad. "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." He could have said, "Woman." He could have just avoided the vocative altogether. But he said, "Daughter." Because his love for her was even greater than Jairus's for his little girl. His love for her was greater than David's for Absalom. "Daughter, your faith has saved you." Now we have hope that that daughter is with her father and his father forever in the Father's eternal house. During this year in which the church marks the 150th anniversary of St. Joseph's being proclaimed the universal protector and patron of the church, it behooves us all to ponder much more God's spiritual paternity and how he exercises it through so many mediators, including and especially St. Joseph. Because the entire gospel flows from the Father's love. Today, as we celebrate Mass, we recognize that we have a privilege to do more than merely touch Jesus' hem. We have a far greater privilege than just touch him on the outside. He comes totally to touch us on the inside. And he wants to say to us something that he said to Jairus' girl in her bedroom. "Talitha cum, little girl, I bid you arise." That word "arise" is anastasis. It's the word for his resurrection. He raised her from the dead by allowing her an entrance into his own life with all its resuscitative power. Today Jesus says to us with extraordinary paternal love, "Daughter, son, share my risen life. Get up. Let me heal you.